You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Yes, you are. Welcome to today's show. How's it going? I'm your host, Patricia Benjamin.
I'm your co-host, Danielle Drama People.
And here we are with Ask Patricia Show, helping you to live your best life right now. So, Danielle, what have we got in store?
What have we got in
Good
store?
Good question.
Indeed. Tell us.
I'm about to do so. Well, you know, I'm so delighted. Who have I got? In fact, she's the number one Essence best-selling author, Tiffany Montgomery. And she says, well, listen, if anybody's ever called you stupid, anybody's ever said to you, you'll never amount to much, what did she say? She says, get up and go harder. And that's exactly, I mean, that sounds like fighting talk, yeah? Well, Tiffany's going to explain more on the Ask Patricia Show. Don't go anywhere.
yourself enough and know what you want. You're gonna make it happen. Make it happen. And if you get down on your knees at night and pray to the Lord, He's gonna make it happen. Make it happen.
Thank
you're
you
listening
so
to
much.
The Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much there to Mariah Carey telling us we can make it happen. Well, yes, we're so excited, lovely Danielle and I, because who do I have? Yes, number one, Essence Magazine best-selling author, Huffington Post contributor. She's globally known as a motivational speaker, and she was handpicked to speak at the Bloomberg Business Week. She also sat on the advisory board of Radio 1 Women's Empowerment, alongside such luminaries as TD Jakes and Oprah. Tiffany Montgomery, welcome to the show.
Woohoo! Thank you for having me. How are you?
We're fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I love your call to action there. Get up and go harder. I mean, that's fighting
yes.
talk.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So when you say get up and go harder, what is it you're really trying to say?
Well, I'm somebody who, when I was younger, really had a lot of dreams. Like, I was somebody that always knew from an earlier age. I couldn't work a 9-to-5. I did not want to do what everybody else was doing, and I didn't want to be a statistic. I was already a teen mom,
right.
And everybody around me kind of just said, your life sucks, and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And so get up and go harder means, you know, despite everybody turning you down and despite everybody's opinion about your life and criticisms on your life, you just wake up the next day and you go harder than you did the day before.
Absolutely.
And harder for you may mean just getting out of the bed. Maybe you're suffering like depression for a certain reason and you're like, I can't even get out of the bed. So going harder means something different from each person.
Right.
And so for some people, maybe just be get out the bed and clean up the house. For some people, maybe going to Apple and emailing the CEO and asking for a position. But going harder means not letting anybody dictate what your life really means and going after what it is you want.
Fantastic, fantastic. Really nicely summarized. Now, you say you were already a teen mom. Tell us a little background of your story there, Tiffany.
Yeah, so it's so funny because when I was younger, when I was like in elementary age, when they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I really wanted to be a genius. I thought that that was an occupation. I watched the FBI show one day,
yes.
And they hired this kid to crack a code, but I didn't know he was autistic, and he was a genius. So I thought it was a job. I'm like, that's what I want to be when I grow up, an autistic genius. And so after I was in elementary school, I completely just stopped doing the work because I was like, I'm already a genius, and I kind of have this life being figured out. And so while my teacher taught, I would sit and count the tiles on the wall and the tiles on the floor because my attention span was just horrible.
Right.
And she pulled me to the side one day, and she's like, Tiffany, you're failing everything. And I was like, no, seriously, I can't be. I'm a genius. And she goes, no, but we're going to take you to go get some help. And so he took me to the pediatrician, and he gave me what they called smart medicine at the time,
wow.
which was Ritalin, which you can only imagine in raged a young girl like me because I was already a genius. And I was like, I don't need your smart medicine.
Indeed.
So I took my medicine home, and I had a Rottweiler who was as hyper as I was, and I gave him the Ritalin, and I went on to do the work to prove that I could do it. I was just bored, and I needed to be taught a different way.
Wow.
So by the time I got into high school, I graduated high school with a 1.7 GPA,
uh-huh.
but my principal also wouldn't let me graduate unless I took a class called anger management because apparently I had a horrible anger problem.
Okay.
However, it was in anger management that I learned how to write. And so I always say, you know, when things come in your way that seem like a roadblock,
right.
writing is something that obviously I was really good at, but I didn't learn it until I got into anger management.
Absolutely.
And so after getting into anger management, you know, I learned how to write, and I graduated with 1.7 GPA. And then a year after I got out of college, because I graduated when I was 16, I got pregnant at 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I still, the one thing I really wanted to be outside of a genius was a best-selling author.
Okay.
And after I got pregnant, everybody was kind of like, you know, you can't be an author. Your life is over. Now you have to work a real job.
That's right.
And you barely graduated high school.
Yeah.
And so I do what anybody does when their life is over and they live in New York. I moved to North Carolina, which is down south.
Right.
And I enrolled in college, and I was a freshman for 3 years straight, and my transcript read 0.0. So eventually, Patricia, I said you should quit everything, you know.
Wow.
And I went on to self-publish my first book a few months after me quitting college. I sold 2,500 copies in that month, made me a little over $25,000 in my very first month of self-publishing.
Gosh.
And a year later, my publisher came to me and I wrote my very first fiction book. And a few months after that book came out on shelves, I was a best-selling author.
Oh, my gosh.
Officially. So that's my story.
Oh, my God. Well, we are both sitting here open-mouthed. I mean, you earned what some people earn in a whole year, Tiffany, in a month. My goodness.
Yes. And it has a lot to do with your mindset around money and a lot to do with your mindset about what's big, what's a lot of money and what's not a lot of money.
Right.
I had to realize that I had a lot of money blocks. I grew up in a family that worked 9 to 5.
Right.
And, you know, to them, a lot of money may have been $100 or $1,000.
Wow.
But
yes.
To me, because I opened up my money mindset, I knew that $1,000 was not going to get me the shoes that I wanted. So obviously I need to up my what I think is a lot of money. But it's all about perception, and I was able to change that.
Wow, my goodness. Do you know what, Tiffany, when I was preparing for this interview, I had written down a lovely set of questions, but you said so many things there, I'm going to have to change up my questions. yeah, I do. So tell me, this money mindset, it seems to me that your money mindset was working really well for you to make 25,000, do you know what I mean? So much money in 1 month. Now tell us more about the money mindset.
Yeah, so first of all, I realized that it was the people I was surrounding myself by. So when I first self-published my first set of books, I was around drug dealers a lot. That's who my target audience was. So I made them buy the book. And the reason I made them buy the book is because I knew they were going to jail soon. And when you go to jail, you read a lot.
Okay.
So they were making tons of money, right?
Yeah,
so here these drug dealers were making like literally 30, 40, 50,000 a month easy.
Wow.
And so that kind of money was normal to me. My grandfather, half of my family are Latin Kings, hence the reason I was probably in anger management. But I would go into my grandfather's house, who was the head of this gang and the king of heroin, and money would be to the top of his ceiling, like literally in one of the bedrooms.
Is that right?
So, so when I talk about money and what it looked like to me, it looked like it was easy to make. I just wanted to find a way to do it legally.
Right, of course. Yes. Well done,
you. And so watching people make 100 or struggle in that, and my perception was, man, these people are out here selling drugs. I know God loves me.
Yes.
So why can't I make money legally and God doesn't want me to struggle? So it really first started with thinking that or coming to a knowing that God loved me, because I didn't always know that, you know?
Yes.
And knowing that God really wanted the best for me, and knowing that if these people were out here polluting the community with drugs, surely God should give me money, lots of it, you know, so I can live a life that I want and also help my community. So it started with me just knowing that that wasn't a lot of money to make. 25 grand for the month wasn't a lot of money.
Oh, wow.
It just wasn't a lot of money. It is not.
Yeah, let me ask you something Let me ask you something quickly, because I love the fact that you brought God into it, because I know so many people with a powerful belief in God, and they say all the time that God doesn't give you what you want, he gives you what you need. Now how does that match up with what you're saying?
It doesn't, and it's so not even biblical.
Thank
and
you
it just
so
makes
much.
Me sad that that's what people think. I mean you have a father, this is your dad,
right?
You know, I look at my children, I have a 14-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I look at my 3-year-old and he comes up to me and he goes, mommy, please can I have this cookie? And I look at him and I just rub his cheek and I'm like, sure baby, go ahead and take the cookie.
Right.
It's not what he needs, but it's what he wants, and because I enjoy watching him smile, I give my son the cookie. I know that God loves me way more than I love my son.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I also know that to God, $25,000 is not a lot of money. And so because I have this father, you know, I have an intimate relationship with God.
Yes.
God is my dad. I don't look at God like a huge entity that I don't have access to.
Mm-hmm.
He's my father. And so since I look at him, I know that God wants me to have big and happy financial blessings that are mine by divine right.
Mm-hmm.
Under grace in perfect ways. He wants me to get it in a very perfect way that's going to make me happy. And because guess what?
Yes.
God wants you, God is a God of results. And mm-hmm. he wants you to be able to use a testimony to say, because of his manifestation, he worked through me to make all this happen. He wants all the glory. So, of course, he wants you to, like, be huge and be big to give him all the glory, to let him, let people know that through him, all this stuff is possible.
Yeah, I so agree. But let me stay there just a moment, because I do have a large audience, very church-going audience. Let me ask you, for those that believe, you know, we have to be humble, you know, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and they do have a big problem when it comes to having lots of money. What can you say to them?
It's definitely a block. It's normally a root cause from what you're growing up, from growing up. It may be, you know, you hearing your parents say all the time, money doesn't grow on trees, or we don't have the money for that. You know, I'm very cautious with my children. So instead of saying, I used to never say, I can't afford that, you know, sweetheart. I would say, well, let's all brainstorm how we can afford it. When you say, I can't afford something, it immediately closes down your thought process and you can't think of other ways. Your mind immediately shuts down. However, when you sit as a family and say, how can we afford this? Guess what happens? Everybody has ideas. Right. Everybody starts bringing things to the table to make that thing possible, because once you decree that something should be done, everything works. God makes everything work together to conspire to make sure that it happens, but you're the one that has the power to do so. So it really starts with what happened in the home when you were growing up. What was the mindset around money then?
Yes.
God talks about a lot about money in the Bible.
He does.
You know, we go to Matthew 25 and he talked about the three people that the guy gave a loan to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one, he gave 7 talents. 5 talents, 3 talents, or whatever the amount of talents were.
Yes.
But we know that the two people that invested the talents, guess what he did? He gave them more.
Absolutely.
Because they were good with the money. But the guy that hid it and was like, you know what, I didn't want to invest it, I didn't want to lose your money, he gnashed his teeth.
That's so
true. Should be example enough to show you that God really wants people who are really great with money and good stewards over their finances, because it's very important to enhancing the kingdom of God. You can't change lives.
Yes.
You can't be powerful, and you can't make any moves happen in policy and government and your community while you're poor.
You can't do it.
It takes money to make changes. And you're going to have to have some.
Exactly. I'm reminded of the scripture that tells us that the poor man's wisdom is despised.
Absolutely. I won't take it. Somebody poor giving me some advice, I don't want it. Keep it.
That's so, so true. Absolutely. Now, I love that phrase you used a little bit earlier on, intuitive genius. Now, is that something that we all have, Tiffany, or is that just you?
No, everybody has intuition. What I know it to be is the Holy Spirit speaking to me.
Right.
But for those who don't really have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, they call it intuition.
Right.
Everybody has intuition.
Wow.
And I found that you may have it in certain ways. You know, we think that God has this big thunderous voice. And when we say, God, speak to us, tell us not to do this project, tell us not to date this man, we think that God's supposed to thunder down from the heavens and scream to us, when that's not true. The Bible says that God's voice is a small, still one.
So true.
And so here are a few ways that we can hear God's voice.
Fabulous.
Sometimes you get goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
When something happens, sometimes goosebumps comes up and says, hey, this is a good idea, even though everything materially says it's not a good idea. This is a good idea. This is a good person.
Right.
Sometimes when somebody comes into your atmosphere, your environment, your stomach hurts. Immediately you know that person is not a good person. I've had people come near my children and immediately know that they weren't good people.
Is that
immediately.
Right? Wow.
I have had just, and you know how you have that voice that when you're in your car and you hear the voice like, hey, did you leave the oven on?
Oh, yes.
That's also another way that you can hear the Holy Spirit talking to you,
mm-hmm.
where you hear a voice and then you may kind of discard it as, well, that was just me.
Right.
No, it's not just you. There is no such thing as coincidence. And when you hear that small, still voice, that's God speaking to you, you know, before you hit the brick wall. We always have warning signs,
wow.
always, whether it's in regards to friendships, business, romantic relationships, our children, there are always warning signs. And by the time you hit the brick wall, you know, we've ignored about 7 of them.
Oh my
so, yes,
goodness.
Everybody has intuition.
I love that. That's so helpful, because it means that we all have the opportunity, because, you know, we hear such amazing stories like yours and we think, well, that can happen for Tiffany. That can't happen for me.
Oh, my gosh. And I love, you know, my story is really amazing. But I just want to remind people, I was a teen mom, you know? I was a college dropout.
Yes.
I was somebody who, when I went to a 9-to-5, I would go in late and leave early. Like, they had to fire me. I was somebody who my principal said to me, I will not let you walk the stage unless I do everything I can to make sure you're not crazy out here in society, because I was crazy.
Wow.
I was put in anger management class. Then by the grace of God, I wasn't in jail, because I was absolutely supposed to land there at least once in my life, and I have never been. So, you know, my life is definitely a testimony to God's grace and a renewal of God's mind.
You know,
the Bible says in all things, get understanding.
Yes.
And I was able to get an understanding and revelation about what God's the Bible, the Word of God, the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people I know, especially Christians, read the Bible or, you know, lack thereof, don't read the Bible.
Yes.
But they're not getting results in their life.
Right.
The book of the Bible is seeds. And if you're getting those seeds into your heart, you're supposed to be reaping the benefit of what you're reading. And if you're not, you need to go before God and say, God, I'm not getting any results from your word.
Wow.
You know, because I said, Patricia, if I'm going to waste time, you know, going to church and reading the Bible, which some people don't deem as fun, I love it at this point in life. But at the beginning, I didn't think it was fun. If I'm going to spend time with God, I'm going to need some results from it.
I love that. I love that. So fantastic.
But the Bible also says, he says, prove me. He says, command ye me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
He says, prove my word.
Mm.
It doesn't return void. So we're not supposed to go to God in docile, passive prayer, begging him to make things happen.
Absolutely.
The Bible says that you're supposed to decree a thing. Patricia, you got me on here preaching. I thought we were talking about books.
And you know, I'm loving so much what you're saying. It's so, so inspiring and empowering. Listen, stay right there, Tiffany. I've got a quick break. But on the other side, I want you to come back and give us some reality checks, please. Why don't you?
Yes, that was Mary Mary with Something Bigger. We thought that was quite fitting for today's show, going hard, or basically just go home. So, yes, you're back on the Ask Patricia show with your co-host, Danielle Drama. Hi, Tiffany. We've got you here and you're speaking about all your experience and all the success that you have had. Now, I was just taking a look at your blog, in fact, about how you did it, how you became, you know, this wonderful author and this wonderful spokesperson for the work that you do. I just want to know, what advice would you give to other people as to how they can do it as well? What are the pointers that you would refer back to?
Yeah, stop asking people for permission. Stop asking for people for permission to get your own talk show, your own TV show, your own movie.
Okay.
Stop asking people for permission to write your own book. We live in an age where it's never been easier than before than to get your own audience online, to start your own show on YouTube, to start your own TV series on YouTube. It's never been easier before. Justin Bieber was found on YouTube. A lot of the great people were found on YouTube. A lot of people were found online. So stop asking for permission. Google what's necessary that needs to be done to make this stuff happen. Do the work. Do the work spiritually. Do the work physically. Do the work to make sure that you're doing it, because your destiny relies in your own hand. Wow. In 2014, nobody can tell you that you can't do something, because it's in your power to do it. So now you just have to blame yourself.
I like that.
There's no better way put, really. Very, very strong, Tiffany. I'm really liking that as well. It's, you know, stop looking for, you know, other people to tell you you can do something, but actually saying, I'm going to do this and this is how I'm going to do it. I mean, what other issues would you also say would be helpful to somebody? I mean, if somebody that's looking to get out there, obviously we've got the internet now. I mean, there's countless YouTube videos and it's a plethora, but in a way, where do you start? Like, which is the best way? So what would you say to that, Tiffany?
So everybody learns differently. Mm. You know, some people can learn in a class. Some people can learn by reading books. I'm one of those people that can't learn in a class. And so if I had have allowed traditional education to define me, I would have grown up thinking that I was stupid. However, thank God for the Holy Spirit, even at an early age when I didn't know what it was, to always let me know or give me an intuitive thought that I was really smarter than what the teachers were saying. I never allowed what they say to get embedded in me. I just thought that they were tripping. I was like, oh, y'all are crazy. Clearly you don't know what a genius looks like. But think about all the children who kind of are labeled not smart and kind of stick with it. I know a lot of people these days that are. So I say all that to say, find what your learning style is. It may not be class. Like, mine wasn't. I had to literally, like, if you're going to teach me how to cook, I can't learn from reading a book. Mm. I have to be in the kitchen with a grandma, and she has to make me dig out the sugar and put it in a measuring cup. I only learn well by doing the work myself, not
practical.
By being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your way is doing that, then get on Google. Type in the first time, how do I write a book?
Wow.
That's what I did.
Wow.
I went to the bookstore.
Yes.
I had nobody to ask, because when I first started with my book process, I didn't know anybody in the book industry. This was back in 2005. I knew no one to ask for help. The internet wasn't really popping like that for me to even reach out to anybody via email and ask for help. I was on my own.
Wow.
And so you just go and you say, what's the first step? Obviously, I may need to just learn how to write a book. So learn how to write a book. And then you say, well, how do I self-publish the book? And then you say, well, what should a book cover look like? And then you say, well, what is the business of books? Maybe I don't want to get sued or lose all my money. Let me study that part.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, again, listening to your intuition.
Right.
When you sit with yourself, you'll have an answer that pops up. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I start a TV show? And once that answer pops up, another thing may come up in your subconscious mind, like, hey, maybe you want to check now on the laws of it. And you may say, oh, that must be an intuitive hit. Let me check on that next. So you'll always have the answers. The Holy Spirit's always giving you the answers. You just have to be receptive enough to listen to them.
Yeah. You know what I like about that, Tiffany, is the fact that when you mention the book, I mean, I know people that have written books, very good books. But the thing is, once their mother's bought it and their family's bought it and their friends have bought it, they're having problems getting it to a wider audience, which you had no problems. I mean, what tips can you have? Do you have a tip or two to try and get your book out there?
Absolutely. Well, everybody's in everybody's in luck, and even though I don't believe in luck, you're all in it. I have a course.
Yes.
And the course actually closes down today. It's called the bestsellersproject.com. So okay. Everybody go to the bestsellersproject.com, and it's a 4-week boot camp that my publisher and I teaches you how to self-publish your own book. The thing about my publisher is she now her publishing company is one of the only independent publishers out there that has national distribution, but she started as a self-published book in 2003 and made $40,000 in her first 2 months.
We all need to listen to her.
Yeah. So you have two powerhouses that are teaching you how to self-publish your book. But, you know, it really is, it's one thing to go at it on your own, but if you have two people that have kind of gone through it and will tell you what to avoid as far as pitfalls are concerned, you're better off taking the class.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. So we've lucked in there. We've called exactly the right time to find out about your course. All right. Now, listen, the final part of our talk there, Tiffany, I did notice the word reality check when I was on your site, and I thought it might be useful because it's so great when you're so inspired listening to somebody like you, because sort of go off at a tangent with all these great ideas. But are there any things that we should be aware of? What are the reality checks?
So you want me to give a reality check just in general?
Yeah, if you have any reality checks, because you know we can be so excited as we go off with all these great ideas. But anything we should bear in mind, any pitfalls, anything we should be aware of?
I think that you should be aware of how powerful you really are. A lot of people don't know that God lives in them.
Okay.
And you're praying to a God that lives outside of you. It was only because I believed how powerful I was that I demanded to be successful. And so it's more spiritual than it is physical. The reason why I've got the opportunities that I've had and have kind of breaking free from the statistic of being a teen mom and a college dropout is because I believed, like the Bible says, because, you know, God, you know, Christians, it does say it in there that we are God's, lowercase g, it says it in there.
That's true.
And so I took that, you know, I took me being God's daughter and he lived in me as proof that I had dominion over everything that I want, everything that I want wants me. And so I was able then, Patricia, to go to meetings, go to a situation and opportunities, go to events where I was selling and pitch myself boldly because I fully expected you to open up doors for me that nobody could shut. I fully expected, because of the favor that's on my life, for you to say yes where you may have said no. Wow. But it was only because I knew how powerful I was because of the power of God in me that I was able to go forth without the spirit of fear. But you also have to know the word, because I knew that when I was afraid, you know, I didn't look at fear like something I was supposed to say, well, maybe this is an opportunity. I knew that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, sound mind. So if I'm operating out of the spirit of fear, I know that that's not of God.
Right.
So my point of power is, you know, if you are wanting to start your own show, if you do want to speak on stage to millions of people, if your goal is to build a multi-million dollar company, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know who you are in God. You have to know that God lives in you and that he can tell you no, because you're so powerful in God, in Christ, that you have to show. That way you can go boldly and you can walk into meetings unqualified, because I was unqualified to do everything that I've ever done. I made myself qualified because God gave me the platform. But knowing who you are in Christ to say, I don't care how qualified you think I am, God has promoted me and I'm here.
Oh, my gosh, powerful. Let me ask you, because there are listeners that may not have such a strong as faith in you, or perhaps they don't necessarily have that kind of relationship. What would you say to those who say, well, I'm not a believer like you, but I do like your points. Does that mean I'm not qualified?
No. So the great thing about God is, because I'm totally not like an average Christian, I talk to God like he's my homeboy, like he's my friend. I don't talk to God, you know, in words that I don't understand. And so sometimes, you know, hence the reason I was in anger management, I might go before God and say, hey, God, if you don't help me out right now, I'm going to run this chick over with a car. It's going to happen.
Okay.
You don't want me in jail. You really love me. I'm going to need you to help me now, because I'm so mad that I'm going to break her face in with a brick. How I talk to God. Okay. Because he already knows I feel that way anyway. It's no point in me saying, thus saith the Lord. Just bless me, God. I can't. I'm angry and I need you to help me now. I'm your daughter. And because I talk to him that way, I'm able to have a relationship because I assume, hopefully, that he's laughing with me. And also, I have a relationship. I have a fellowship with him. He's a friend. Yes. He's my dad. And so I'm able to go to him candidly and say, you know, I really need your help because I'm going to jail tomorrow if you don't, Holy Spirit. Give me a miracle today. And so for those who don't have a relationship, stop thinking or assuming what your relationship should be like. If you're having a problem with sex and you're like, listen, hey, God, I'm super horny. I'm going to need you to help me out before I have sex with my whole neighborhood. Call him that. Be honest.
Be real.
And you'll develop a relationship deeper than anybody that goes to church 5 days a week. Guaranteed. That.
Yeah, such great advice. Now, one thing before you go there, Tiffany, I did think this is so empowering, and we can go out there believing in ourselves, believing in the God in me, as Mary sings. But the thing is, despite all of that, from time to time, there will be disappointments. Now, how do we bounce back from those disappointments?
Yeah, so the only thing that keeps me sane when I have been disappointed is to know, and I go back to the Bible for everything, but I literally say to myself, let's say there was an opportunity that I really want and didn't get. Well, I know that God opened up doors that nobody can shut, and God also shuts doors that nobody can open.
Right.
And so since my statement of belief is everything that is mine by divine right comes quickly, I may say, well, maybe this isn't mine by divine right. You know, I know a lot of us ladies, maybe let's look at relationship as a disappointment, and we lose a guy, or we feel like we lost a guy, in reality we didn't, but we may say, I'm really disappointed, this really seemed like it was going to work out. Well, let's retrace back and see what red flags came up to let you know that this wasn't God's choice for you, this wasn't God's divine right for you, that this wasn't what you wanted, that God didn't want you to have this man because there was another one that was going to treat you a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at things and saying, God loves me so much that if this was an opportunity I was supposed to have, it would have manifested quickly. It would have been super easy for me to get. And God, you know, once this one's out, God's going to open up another way for it.
Wow.
So just kind of remaining, inverse paranoid. I'm optimistic by heart. I look at the good in everything.
Right. Yeah. So, so.
If my car breaks down on the side of the road at 3:00 in the morning and a man knocks on my door, I'm assuming it's my husband, or he may be able to, you know, he's the son of a king. That's how I think. I don't think he's a rapist.
Okay. Fantastic. Listen, this is such great value, and I'm getting so much from you. I'm writing notes even as I'm listening to you. Now, before you go there, Tiffany, for people hearing what you're saying and loving everything you're saying, can you just give details of your website, please, where they can find you?
Absolutely. Come to my home, www.tiffanymontgomery.com. I am a little special, so I spell my name differently. It's T-I-P-H-A-N-I. Again, that's T-I-P-H as in phone, A-N-I. And TiffanyMontgomery.com. I would love to have you there. Also, the Bestsellers Project. So if any of you out there are wanting to write a book, it's been a dream of yours, you just don't know how to get it done, registration closes today. We don't teach our next class until 2015. 80% of the people that go through our programs successfully self-publish their books, and you have lifetime access. So we're like a really small gang. Once you're in, you're in.
But
we make sure that we hold your hand and we make sure you get it done. I'm also hosting a blogging and branding boot camp, and the registration opens up for that next week. So if any of you are interested in blogging or branding, I'd love to help out with that.
Oh my gosh, you are the perfect partner, I think.
I'll be checking that out, Tiffany. I'll tell you that right now.
Tiffany, I want to thank you so much. You've just been a complete delight and an education. And I love the fact that you're saying you're doing it, but we can do it too.
Absolutely. And I want to say one more thing, Patricia, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I also have a nonprofit called Knocked Up Now What?
Right.
And I teach teen moms financial literacy and self-mastery. So, you know, you can take what you've gone through and you know, reach down and teach it to other people, because my goal is to make sure that other young moms are equipped with the same knowledge that I now have to be able to move past their circumstance.
Fantastic. I like all of that. So everything, Tiffany Montgomery does it all. So we need to find her on her site. All right. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much again. Can I ask you just to state where you are? I need to get a couple of details from you off air. But
absolutely.
Fantastic. So that was Tiffany Montgomery there, Essence Magazine, number one bestseller, and so much more. Well, Daniel, what can you say?
I'm stunned. I love Tiffany. I think Tiffany is amazing. I need to get your number, girl. I think I need a lot more help in that department. I think just because it's all these, notes are so transferable, through life. It's not just in business, but life. Yeah, it applies. And I think I really like that transparency. And I think I don't think there's going to be one person that's not going to benefit from, what Tiffany has shared today. Mm-hmm. So, I can't wait to get stuck in. I think it's
even
really
young girls listening, think, I've got a baby, things are hard, life is hard. Mm. I mean, Tiffany says, that's not a problem. I've done it, you can do it, and I can show you how.
Yeah, and so simply as well. We get so sort of caught up in our own mess. Oh my gosh, feeling sorry for ourselves and all of that nonsense, right? Mm. And it's just like, well, if you want to do it, just do it. Do you know what I mean? they're telling Tiffany, you've got to take these pills. Harder. And she was like, no, actually, I'm not taking these pills. And just knowing that I can do this. It doesn't matter what people say about me. I know it for myself. And I just think, if you don't believe in yourself, then who is, particularly if you're going to have people that are naysayers and saying the opposite. Mm-hmm. So just rising above that, I really, really found that, really inspirational. I really love that. So
I'm gonna be playing this podcast over and over.
Yeah, Tiffany, as well, just so you know, we'll definitely be trying to hunt you down on Twitter as well. You always want to connect. So I think that'd be really cool.
London
soon. Oh, brilliant. Please, yes, we have to be there. Fantastic. Yeah. All right, but we're going on and on because we have been so buzzed up here listening to Tiffany Montgomery. But you've been listening to the Ask Patricia show with myself and the beautiful Danielle. Now, me and Danielle, we're going to go straight away to our blog, and you need to go there to askpatricia2000.wordpress.com, and we have got so much to write about on today's show, and you can comment as well. And I think we're bouncing around on Twitter as well, are we not,
Danielle? Always trying to bounce around on Twitter, Patricia. You're going to find Patricia at askpatricia2000. You're going to find myself at dldrama, that is dldrama on Twitter. So please, guys, don't be shy. Say hi to us. Let us know what your comments are, because, we want to interact with you. We really want your feedback and responses so we can really engage with you guys. But all in all, just make sure you check us out, okay?
All right, that's been us for today. We'll see you here next time for more on the Ask Patricia Show.
You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Into the sound.
Get behind closed doors, man, you hit the floor. And what they can't see is your own, your knees. So the next time you get a chance, tell them it's the God in me. 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 You think I'm so fresh, you think I'm so clean, you think I'm so sweet. It's the God in me. Behind.